Hi again, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex in Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. On the day that we anticipate the NFL schedule being released, we are all giddy here in South Philadelphia, and we're going to find out at 8 o'clock just when and where the 2014 Eagles will play their games. In the meantime, we've got a great show for you today. Connor Barwin stops by and chats a little bit about his experience in Philadelphia in year one and what to expect in the second year with Bill Davis running this Eagles defense. Tony Pauline talking about the draft on May 8th through May 10th. It's going to be a lot of names who are going to go up in the media's chitter-chatter and a lot of names that are going to go down. We'll get to the bottom of it with our draft insider. First things first, though, we give you the very latest from the NovaCare Complex in today's headlines. Let's take a look, shall we? And yes, 8 p.m., the 2014 NFL schedule is released. We'll have all that information for you, a complete breakdown, some analysis, some fun facts, and some behind enemy lines investigation into the Eagles and their opponents for 2014. We are monitoring all of the reports out there and in our rumor mill today. Alabama safety, Clinton Dix, reportedly meeting with the Eagles. Now, this is a player that many believe will go in the top 10 of the draft. Dynamic playmaker and somebody who will go into the NFL with the expectation of making an immediate impact. Would he be there at 22 for the Eagles? Fairly unlikely. Would the Eagles be able to move up if they're interested in Clinton Dix? Well, that's your rumor mill of the day. Tickets remaining for this weekend's Men's Academy. Troy Vincent, the keynote speaker on Sunday. And John Runyon, the keynote speaker on Saturday. Get your tickets now. It is a great day at the NovaCare Complex. Some in-depth X's and O's, some fun out on the field, and a look at the beautiful NovaCare Complex. So sign up now. Get your tickets right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Complete draft coverage. We're going to keep pounding this into your heads. We got shows all this week, all the way through Thursday, all next week, Monday through Thursday. And then our draft coverage really, really kicks into gear on Monday, May 5th. Make sure you're with us then, because we cannot wait for the draft. The Eagles have six selections at this point in the seven-round draft, number 22 overall in round number one. Coming up, Connor Barwin, Eagles linebacker, in studio here. We take a look at the Eagles' opponents in 2014 tonight. All of these graphics will be sorted out. Who do the Eagles play at home? Well, we take a look at that. The marquee matchup there, non-division, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champions coming to town. The division-winning Carolina Panthers also coming to town. On the road, it is a killer schedule for the Eagles. Indianapolis, San Francisco, Arizona, Green Bay, what should be a much improved Houston team, in addition to the division schedule. Eagles must be big-time winners on the road this season. Now we go behind enemy lines with Bo Wolf. We're talking San Francisco and Tennessee. Let's talk to Bo and have a little breakdown of those two opponents.
Thanks, Dave. And our next look at the Eagles 2014 opponents and their busy offseasons, we go to Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans. Jim Wyatt of the Tennessean joins us. And Jim, obviously a changing of the guard in Tennessee this offseason. Out is Mike Munchak, in is Ken Wisenhunt. What are the biggest changes organizationally with that switch at the top?
The biggest is going to be going from a defense that's been a 4-3 primarily since they've been in Tennessee to more of a 3-4 hybrid defense under Ray Horton. And they've kind of built the personnel to do that, but it should be a different feel in Nashville and certainly a different look from the Titans on the field this fall.
Who are the players on that defense as they make the transition from 4-3 to 3-4? Who are the difference makers to watch?
Well, some of the guys that they've added, I mean, Wesley Woodyard, the linebacker from the Broncos, you know, Sean Phillips, you know, longtime San Diego Charger, who's now who finished last season with the Broncos as well. Those are a couple of big moves. They signed Al Woods, a big nose tackle who can bounce, play some outside on the defensive line. You know, those are some of the guys on defense. You know, I think offensively, you know, Dexter McCluster, they want him to be more of a playmaker to make up for the absence of Chris Johnson.
And with that uncertainty at the running back position, of course, all eyes on Jake Locker at quarterback. How does he fit with Ken Wisenhunt? And Is this really a make or break year for him?
Well, it definitely is, because it's the last year of his contract. I mean, he's got the 5th year option, you know, that all these guys in that 2011 draft class have, but they're not going to pick that up. I mean, it would cost $13 million, and you're not going to pay that to a guy who's missed, you know, 14 of a potential 32 starts over the last couple of years and just came out of a walking boot a couple of weeks ago, you know, just, you know, several months removed from another surgery. So this is definitely a make or break year, no matter, you know, whether the team or Jake Locker wants to admit it or not. And if he, you know, if he fails during, you know, this season, then he won't be back in 2015. If he is successful and makes that next step like they think he still will, then they'll try to sign him to an extension. But he has a lot to prove, and they're going to give him a chance to do that. You know, with that said, you know, they're in a position, it's another position in the draft where I think they have to address it and have to start thinking about the future.
And the Titans do have the 11th overall pick in the first round. Jim, sounds like there's really a lot of options on the table for them, a lot of positions they could address. Do you have any sense of what they might do at 11?
This year they could go a number of directions, and it's really going to be best player available at one of their needs. And I'm not saying they don't have needs, because they do have needs, and I mentioned some of them. You know, at quarterback and running back. I still think they need a pass rusher, but it's just going to be whatever they think the best guy is there. I mean, I think that Anthony Barr is a good fit for him, because even though they did make some moves to address the pass rush, you know, Phillips is going to be 33 next month. You know, Wembley, you know, granted, he's a better fit in a 4-3-4. He wasn't exactly, he hasn't really knocked anybody's socks off since he's been here. So they still have a need at defensive, at linebacker, you know, defensive end and a hybrid defense. And I think a guy like Barr would fit him well. And his old defensive coordinator, Luke Spanos, is now the Titans, you know, his defensive coordinator for UCLA last year is now the Titans linebackers coach, in Luke Spanos. So they've got some familiarity with Anthony Barr there as well. So I've seen him picked there in a lot of mock drafts, and it makes a lot of sense to me. The question is whether he's going to be around or not.
All right, well, a new era in Tennessee with the Titans. Jim Wyatt has it covered better than anybody else. Thanks so much for breaking it down for us, Jim.
Okay, appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, we turn our attention now to the NFC, another contender for that NFC championship crown, the San Francisco 49ers. And we talk about their busy offseason with Matt Maiocco from CSN Bay Area. And Matt, it has been a bit of a topsy-turvy offseason for the 49ers. For the second year in a row, a change at the safety position. They bring in Antoine Bethea, the former Indianapolis Colt, the longtime Colt, and out is Dante Whitner. What does that mean for the state of the 49ers defense?
Well, I mean, I think they feel like they can just hit the ground running with Antoine Bethea, because they really are replacing Dante Whitner with somebody who's similar, you know, a solid pro, a guy who's experienced, shouldn't have very many growing pains going to a new situation, and someone who's a proven player, has the leadership that Dante Whitner has. So I think the 49ers, you know, a year ago, they were replacing Deshaun Goldson, and they made the commitment to trade up and get Eric Reed in the draft to replace Goldson. Well, they felt like they could do that because they had Whitner. This year, I don't think that they wanted to go that route again. They have two young guys at the safety position. So they bring in Bethea, and now they really don't have that huge of a need to select a safety at any point in this draft. Now, this is a draft where the 49ers can address a lot of needs with 11 picks overall, including 6 in the top 100.
Let's talk about that plethora of picks, and I think the expectation is, because the 49ers have a Super Bowl-ready roster, that there's an expectation that they're probably going to be doing a lot of moving and shaking on draft weekend.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's what they've done in the past. You know, their first pick is at number 30. I mean, they could very well stay there. They could move up. I think it's probably the more likely scenario would be that they would move up to get somebody they target. But just as likely, or, you know, maybe not quite as likely, but, I mean, it's also within the realm of possibility they move back. So it is wide open for them. And if they get to that number 30 spot, and there are several guys they like, most likely they'd be at the positions of a cornerback or wide receiver, and now maybe of an outside linebacker, you know, 49ers might be tempted to move back. But if there's one guy that they fall in love with, they have the ammo to jump up and get him.
And then finally, Matt, just on offense, what do you think is the next step for Colin Kaepernick, a quarterback?
Well, I think the next step is just to get a better handle of his responsibilities within the pocket. It's to make guys around him better, you know, not just rely on two guys. And maybe a lot of that, in talking to Jim Harbaugh, is the fault of the other guys, you know, the other wide receivers other than Anquan Boldin. And then after Michael Crabtree came back, you know, he had a couple pretty good weapons there. But we all know that he can make plays with his arm. I think he needs to maybe just show a little bit more inside the pocket. We also know that he can throw the heck out of the football and make big plays in the passing game. To me, it's just, you know, the finer points of the game. He's in his short period of time as a starting quarterback, he's done things that nobody else with the 49ers, even in their illustrious history at the quarterback position, have done. He's won more playoff games on the road than every quarterback in 49ers history combined, which is amazing when you think of, you know, John Brody and Joe Montana and Steve Young, and heck, even Jeff Garcia made a few Pro Bowls, and of course Alex Smith. So Kaepernick has shown the ability to play well in big games. Unfortunately for the 49ers, you know, he made the three turnovers in that NFC Championship game against the Seattle Seahawks, which, you know, played a big role in the 49ers staying home for the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, Matt Maiocco from CSN Barrier breaks down the San Francisco 49ers, one of the Eagles' opponents in 2014 in what will surely be a big-time game.
Thank you very much, Bo. Great job there. Good look at those two teams. And again, we will find out the schedule tonight, 8 o'clock. The 2014 Eagles schedule. We'll have complete coverage for you here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on our mobile app. Wherever you are, tune in at 8 o'clock. Find out where and when the Eagles play this season. Cannot wait. On the other side, linebacker Connor Barwin stopped by the studio yesterday. A special day for him, Earth Day. We talked a little bit about Mother Earth, and we also talked about the Philadelphia Eagles. Year two for Barwin in the system. What can we expect? We find out on the other side as Eagles Live rolls along.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles linebacker Connor Barwin, who's here for the offseason conditioning program, but you never really spend much time away. You're addicted to this stuff, aren't you?
Well, I live here in Philadelphia, yeah. So I spent the majority of the offseason here. I've seen you all winter.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah, it's good. It was a great winter. But yeah, I'm here all the time. So, and you know, I mean, some guys go back home to where they're from, but the facilities here are so good. I might as well train here than go anywhere else and train.
Is that a decision that you made during the year, Connor, or have you always been like that where you want to?
I've always done that. Mm-hmm. I did it in Houston. I did it. I'm going to do it. Continue to do it in Philadelphia.
How do you like Philly?
I love Philly. Yeah. I mean, I think
yeah,
most people know
very,
that.
Very well documented.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's genuine. I mean, it's your, you know, you're doing the Flyers pump up video. You're doing the happy as we celebrate Earth Day this
week.
There
you go.
You know, I mean, it's a big one for everybody,
yeah.
For you included. I mean, but it is your kind. It seems like you really ingrained yourself in the city. That's important to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I grew up appreciating communities and where you live, but beyond that, I think I really do just connect with the city of Philadelphia. And I've really enjoyed my first year here, and look forward to being here for a while.
When you look back at last year, how'd you play? Do you go back? Are you one of those guys, you go back and watch every play from every game after the season's over and gain perspective?
You go back and watch some cut-ups that the coaches make for you. I watched every play during the season a couple times, so I didn't need to go after the season, do it all over again. And then we'll continue throughout the summer and training camp looking at last year's play again. So you don't need to overload, but as far as I played, I thought I played solid throughout the year, but obviously there's a lot of area to improve. Like everybody, there's always somewhere you can get better.
How do you like the defense? So, I mean, as it stands now, there will be changes. I'm sure the draft will bring some young talent here. But as it stands now, when you look at the defense, what do you think?
Well, I'm happy with who we have. Obviously, I think we got a great group of guys. I think we enjoy being around each other. I think we work hard, and we've been here for 2 days just with the off season, and just watching the weights that guys are pushing on the first day is really something to be enthusiastic about. So I think guys are excited. There's a good culture, and obviously, I like the few guys that they brought in so far in free agency, and look forward to see who we add in the draft in the next month.
What priorities do you have in the offseason, Connor? What physically, are there specific areas that you want to work on?
Well, you continue to try to get faster and stronger. And the one thing that's unique here in Philly with our strength staff is that usually a lot of people think the older you get, the slower you get. But actually, I'm 27. That's, you know, according to our sports scientists, that's the prime age for a football player. I feel like I can continue to get faster and stronger. So that's obviously the focus right now in the offseason.
I've always wondered, how does one get faster? Is it the technique that...
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, we just ran today and did a whole bunch, you know, it's called a high intensity day, and a lot of fundamental stuff and then a lot of explosive stuff. And I honestly felt great about it. I feel like what we did today is going to make me a faster, quicker player.
Did it take you time to buy in to the program?
No, not at all. I mean, Chip is very, very good, and the strength staff is good at explaining why we're doing what we're doing, and everything, you know, makes sense. And it's all for us. I mean, it's all to make us better players. And if you don't want to be a better player or perform better on Sundays, I don't really understand, you know, why you're doing this.
But, I mean, there are veterans who've had success in the league, and maybe they would look at an unusual approach, something that's different than what they've had in the past, and kind of be skeptical.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had some success, but I want to have more success. So I guess I'm open to new ideas and figuring out how I can, you know, get better.
Fans want to know this. Describe kind of in the locker room what you're feeling with this group. The next step. What is the next step for this football team?
The next step? I mean, the feeling in the locker room is positive, but, you know, I think there's kind of a chip on our shoulder as far as, you know, improving on last year. I know we finished the second half of the season well, which were, you know, is something positive to look at. Did not get it done in the playoffs. Started the season a little rough. So I think the focus is, you know, continue to get the defense back in, get ahead of it sooner than we did last year, and just improve on all the small things and get off to a better start this year.
How did you react after the playoff loss? Did it stick with you for a while?
Yeah, it hurt because I thought we should have won that game. You know, that's what I mean. As long if you play hard and give it everything you got, you know, you can get over it, which I think we did, and I did get over it. But I think it hurt because I think, you know, we could have beat the Saints. And, you know, I don't know what we would have done after that, but I think we definitely should have moved on from that.
Did you watch the rest of the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched them.
Pain? Envy?
Well, I mean, you admire a defense like Seattle. I mean, I don't take anything away from them. What they did in the Super Bowl, you know, I like to see as a defensive player. So, you know, it does hurt to watch those games. I think the second round when the Saints played, I think that really hurt because I thought we should have been in that game. But after that, I'm still like everybody else. I enjoy watching football. So I watched all the playoff games.
I think it's really remarkable the way the Seahawks came together as a defense in an era where you are severely hampered by the rules. that defense still, you know, leads the way for championships.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what they say. Defense wins championships, and you can go throughout the season and give up some yards or give up some points here in these, you know, in certain games when you, you know, face some of these, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, when everybody's locked in to go through a playoffs to win a Super Bowl, it's really, you know, positive to see defense win a championship.
Connor, a lot of changes in the locker room. You know all the stories out there. How does the locker room react to established veterans who've been here? Jason Avant, who everybody loved, DeSean Jackson, who very productive player. How's it work in the locker room, that dynamic?
Well, I think it's you know, for younger guys, it's a little weird, I guess, for guys that were rookies or maybe even second-year guys, but I don't think so. It only takes you a year to realize how this business works. And every single year, there's a turnover. And when things happen, you know, you don't try to figure out why they happen. You trust in your management and your coaches. And then you just get focused on your team and get focused on the guys that are in the locker room. So I think you rely on some leadership to do that. But guys quickly learn how this NFL offseason works.
Yeah, if you lose your focus and your focus is keeping your job, then you've let yourself down. You've let your team down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Connor, thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Good
always
seeing you. I'll
always
see you.
Good to talk.
Always
hey,
good.
Happy Earth Day, man.
Thank you, brother. And you're welcome here anytime you want, okay?
Okay, sounds
Connor,
good.
Mi casa, su casa. Right?
I'm taking Spanish.
Yeah, I'm just making it up. Connor Barwin in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
To get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Are you an Ultimate Eagles fan? Well, prove it. We want you to enter right now our Dietz and Watson contest that gives you the opportunity to announce the Philadelphia Eagles' fourth round draft pick on May 10th at Radio City Music Hall. Enter to win on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The hashtag is DeetsDraft, and we know you're hungry for next season. We're all hungry for next season. We're going to find out who the Eagles play, where they play, when they play. It all comes together tonight. In the meantime, real quick after the show, enter to win and tell us why you're the ultimate Eagles fan, and you could be the one making that walk up to the podium on May 10th to announce the Eagles' fourth-round draft pick at Radio City Music Hall. You know, every year prior to the draft, you find out names that are moving up the charts or moving down, according to the draft nicks. We don't know actually what happens in NFL draft rooms, but as we focus in here on the draft and look at some names, we bring in Tony Pauline from our draftinsider.net, one of our insiders here on the NFL draft. And Tony, fascinating to see how some of these names that we talked about way back when in February, Teddy Bridgewater, Louisville quarterback, for example, some thought he might be the first pick in the draft. And now people are talking about him like he's going to be a second round selection. What in the world is going on? How much volatility is there in the market right now?
Well, not as much as the media likes to predict out there. I think what happens is, you know, after the Super Bowl's over, you get media people, reporters who concentrated on the NFL season since August, actually since July when camp started, and then they shift their focus to the NFL draft, and they're not really all that well acquainted with the players, and they take bits and pieces of what people are telling them, and they run with it. So I think it's more times than not, there's a little bit of truth to it, but it's not fully completely true, as you just what you just mentioned with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, let's talk about these quarterbacks. Not too long ago, and I'm not sure the Eagles are really in the market for a quarterback, with Nick Foles, who had a great season last year, and Mark Sanchez added, and of course Matt Barkley, a fourth-round draft pick last year. But not too long ago, this draft class was being talked about in historic proportions, almost as far as the quality at quarterback. Now, the way I read all these mocks, at 22, if the Eagles get lucky, Johnny Football's still there, or Teddy Bridgewater is still there. If they wanted to, they could get one of these big-name quarterbacks. How good is the draft class at that position?
It's solid. It really hasn't changed all that much. Let's go back to a little bit more than a year ago. I mean, a little bit more than a year ago, people were projecting Mike Glennon of North Carolina State to be a top 10 pick. Tyler Wilson, and Glennon ended up as a late second-round pick. Tyler Wilson of Arkansas to be a top 10 pick. He was in the last day of the draft. So I think what happens is, I go back to my first comment about people making mocks who really concentrate on the NFL for 8 months a year, not really well acquainted with the quarterbacks, and it's such a position of need, they think that teams are going to reach on them. Teams will usually reach, but I think with Bridgewater and Manziel, they were rated too high to begin with, especially Manziel, and now they're starting to seek their level as these reporters and media people find out what's going on inside the war rooms.
All right, Tony, tell me, in these next 2 weeks, what names do you think might kind of elevate up the list in draft rooms, and then what names might bump down the list?
Well, let's go start off with the receiver position, Mike Evans of Texas A&M. I mean, here's a guy who, as I've said in the past, has made Johnny Manziel a much better quarterback, really helped Johnny Manziel. He's a big, tall receiver, just under 6 foot six. He's got terrific size. He gets up. He fights for the ball. He's got reliable hands. Only a redshirt sophomore. He's got great upside potential. Needs some work on his route running. He's not the fastest guy, but when people see that sort of game-impacting or game-controlling receiver in the day and age of 6'1", 6'2", cornerbacks, he's going to rise, and he should. Another guy to remember, a name to remember, is Weston Richburg of Colorado State. Not a very deep center class, although there are teams that need centers. And the word is if you want to get one, you better grab them early. And Richburg is the guy. Weston Richburg could be a surprise first-round pick on May 8th. Solid player, a bit Nick Mangold-like, if you will. Smart, intelligent, uses all his assets to a maximum, plays fundamentally sound football. Not a dominant guy, but a guy that consistently gets the job done. Another offensive lineman, Zach Martin out of Notre Dame. He's been rising up draft boards for the longest time. People see him, you know, he's not as good as, say, Jake Matthews at the left tackle position, but they think he's more well-rounded. He's more versatile. He can play left tackle. He can play both guard spots. There are some people, not including myself, who feel he can be a right tackle at the next level. It's just, again, his fundamentals, the way he approaches the game, his mental approach to the game, understands the position, plus the versatility. Here's a name, if you're looking for an interior lineman that Eagle fans should should remember, I apologize, Kevin Pamphile out of Purdue. A couple of years ago, they had some success with a guy by the name of Dennis Kelly. Pamphile's a bit more athletic than Dennis Kelly. He played left tackle in that wide-open Purdue system. He runs well. He's got good footwork and pass protection. 6'5", 305 pounds, ran a 5.11 during pro day. Really someone who, for whatever reason, has fallen under the radar screen, did not get a combine invite, was not invited to any of the postseason All-Star games. But if you're in those middle rounds of the last day of the draft, Pamphile's a name that has moved up and would be a surprise pick to a lot of people.
Tony, last one for you here today. For fun, why not? Give me your prediction how the quarterbacks will come off the board May 8th and 9th.
Well, I'm going to remain true to where I've been since January. I've always had Blake Bortles of Central Florida as my number one rated quarterback. I think he's going to be the first signal caller selected. I think he's got great upside. He's got better physical skills than any of the top quarterbacks. He's also done a great job between the ears running that Central Florida system, and they've gone in and beat teams like Penn State in Penn State. They beat Baylor in the bowl game. Bortles is my number one guy. I like Teddy Bridgewater as my number two quarterback. He struggled in the offseason, didn't throw at the combine. He's had some terrible individual workouts, but he still has a lot of skill. You don't throw away 2 years of great film off of a few bad weeks of workouts. I like Derek Carr as my number three quarterback. I think Carr's got all the physical skills that you want in an NFL game and an NFL signal call. It's just a matter of can he withstand the pressure. My number four signal caller is Johnny Manziel, an exciting college quarterback who I don't think really projects all that well to the next level.
Well, Tony Pauline, I would be very surprised if the Eagles make one of those players, call one of those players' names May 8th or 9th or any quarterback at all. I just think this team, would you agree with that, that with Foles, with Sanchez, with Barkley, no need really to go to a quarterback?
And with a limited number of picks, there's absolutely no need at all.
All right, Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And that is Tony Pauline. We will wrap things up with him this week as we get into who will the Eagles take. We'll have that for you tomorrow on PhiladelphiaEagles.com as Eagles Draft Live wraps up the week on Thursday.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Tomorrow is the day we're going to take a lot of phone calls. We know there'll be a big reaction when the schedule is announced tonight. Make sure you're with us at 8 p.m. The NFL schedule release, the Eagles' dates and times to be announced. We'll have complete coverage of that. We know the opponents. We've been talking about them for weeks and weeks and weeks. And will the Eagles take a look here at the home and away schedule? Maybe there's a snow game in there somewhere. That away schedule really, to me, holds the entire key to this 2014 season. Take care of your business at home and then go out and get a 500 or better record on the road. The Eagles would be in absolutely fantastic shape, but that is a tough schedule on the road. Colts a playoff team. 49ers a playoff team. Cardinals a team that was right there until the end. Excellent season in 2013 with Carson Palmer at quarterback. Division opponents much improved. The Packers a playoff team. And, of course, the Texans, who have the first pick in the draft, should get immediate impact. Bill O'Brien, the new coach there, they'll get Arian Foster back healthy. That will be an improved football team. So it's a tough schedule on paper right now. We'll see how it shakes out when the dates and times are announced tonight. Programming note for you. We want you to tune in on Monday, May 5th. The Eagles cheerleader final auditions are held in Philadelphia, and they'll take that list of 60 beautiful finalists and pare it down to 38 for the 2014 season. We're going to have the broadcast for you live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, so please tune in. The Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders final audition show for you here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our mobile app. And once again, Men's Academy tickets are available for this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Great day of fun and Eagles football here at the NovaCare Complex. John Runyon, former offensive tackle, is the keynote speaker on Saturday. And on Sunday, it's former Eagles Pro Bowl cornerback, member of the team's Hall of Fame, the big wig in the league, senior vice president, executive vice president, Troy Vincent. He'll be the keynote speaker on Sunday at the Eagles Academy for Men. So there are some tickets available for that event. And make sure you get them now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And one other promotion we've got to get for you here. because the deadline is rapidly approaching. If you have an opportunity to be on the main stage at Radio City Music Hall, who wouldn't want to do that? Well, the deadline is in 2 days, the 25th of April. It's our Dietz and Watson Hungry for Next Season sweepstakes. Hashtag Dietz Draft. Log on and tell us why you're the ultimate Eagles fan, and you could be announcing the Eagles' fourth-round pick on May 10th at Radio City Music Hall in the Big Apple, New York City. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us today on Eagles Live. We're back tomorrow. We'll talk about the schedule. We'll talk to Tony Pauline once more, and we get another day closer to the 2014 draft. We thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.